And greetings, brethren. How's everybody doing? Yeah. Excellent, excellent. Pleasure to be here. I trust that most of us had a great and productive week. I certainly did. There was a lot of action, and it was a very busy week, very, very busy week. As mentioned in the intercessory, the announcements there, of course, the highlight of my week was the birth of my new niece, Serafina Jade. So, very, very exciting. I got a chance to see her probably just a little after an hour when she was born. I was there in the waiting room in the hospital, and what a beautiful, beautiful little girl. So they were actually discharged from the hospital this morning, so they're at home and they're, you know, resting and getting used to being first-time parents. So let's definitely continue to keep them in our prayers. All right, so brethren, I want you to go back in time and think about when you initially came into the faith, or sometimes we'll say come into the truth. When you initially came into the truth, what was it like during that initial time? How did you feel? What were the events or life circumstances that were around at that time that basically led you to the decision, because eventually you came to a point of making a decision to follow Christ, to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And I want to consider you to consider how you are now compared to how you were then. Do you have a deeper understanding of what God expects of you? Do you think differently now than you did then? Do you act differently? Hopefully you do. Today, brothers and sisters, as I'm sure most of us are aware, is day number 21 in the 50-day count, the Feast of Weeks, up to Pentecost. And this is truly a time of introspection and growth as we prepare in great anticipation for the holy day of Pentecost. Today I want to talk to you about conversion, Christian conversion, which indeed is a process, not just a one-time event. The title of the message, as you can see on the board there, is From Immaturity to Immortality. And I'll actually share something funny with you. When I was putting together this, you can go back to the slide actually. When I was putting together the presentation this morning, well, pretty much the slide, by accident, when I was writing the word immortality, I forgot the T. So you know what that spells, right? So if I didn't catch that would have been very interesting. It's interesting in the English language that just one simple letter can make a huge difference, because that would have been the exact complete opposite of what we're talking about here. So I'm very glad that I was able to catch that. And indeed, it's immortality, you know, that we're striving towards. This is a similar type message, actually, that I gave here a couple years back on Christian conversion, a little different. But I'm going to share with you a roadmap, if you will, that outlines not all, but some of the key segments that we experience during our various stages of our Christian life. And the aim of the message, brothers and sisters, is really to encourage all of us as we go through our process of conversion to continue to strive to grow as we develop. No matter where we are in our lives, to continue to strive to grow and to develop more faith and to be more obedient to our Creator. Turn your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Acts. Regarding Christian conversion, I'm going to be using the Apostle Paul as an example as how he came into the faith and how he progressed and grew during his journey. So we're going to look at Acts chapter 9. As we are all certainly aware, Paul had somewhat of a troubled past in terms of his relationship with the way, with, you know, followers of Christ. Acts chapter 9. So we'll take a look at when he was, obviously at that time, referred to as Saul. Where it says here, meanwhile Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to, once again, the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem as he neared Damascus on his journey. Suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell from the ground and heard a voice that said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul replied. "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. Now get up," so here's the instruction from the Lord, "get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Verse 7, the men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard a sound, but saw no one. So obviously we're very startled. What's going on here? Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he couldn't see anything. So he was blinded. So they led him by hand, once again, he can't see, into Damascus. And for 3 days he was blind and did not drink anything. So he went 3 days, no sight, no food, no drink. So a lot going on here. Verse 10, in Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm that he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." So obviously they're very worried and skeptical in terms of what's happening here with this man Saul. But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." So indeed the Lord had a special plan for Saul, whose name, of course, would be later changed to Paul. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, he sent to me that you see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see. He got up, and what happened? He was baptized. And after taking food, he regained his strength. So here, brothers and sisters, we see the beginning of Paul's journey with Christ. The intro, if you will, to his Christian calling. And what I want to share with you here, as I mentioned, in terms of the roadmap, this is what we call the introduction. In life, of course, we go through stages, no matter what. I mean, a baby, obviously you go from an infant stage, then you go to a little bit of, you know, maturity in terms of the things you do, the food you eat, things of that nature. So as I mentioned earlier, this is somewhat of a roadmap that I put together in terms of some of the things that we experience, that we go through during our Christian life. And I want to see if we can perhaps relate to some of this, and even in respect to what we just read with the Apostle Paul, who was Saul at that time. So during our initial stage of conversion, we receive and accept the calling from the Father. So of course there is a calling. And then we begin to change our way of thinking from the carnal ways of man to the holy ways of God. So I want you to once again, as I said earlier, go back to when you were first called and see some of this, of course, that I'm sure you can relate to. And then we begin the process, of course, of learning about God, His laws, and His plan of salvation. So we start to figure out, what is this life all about, the purpose of life? What does God want me to do? What is His plan for me? And then, of course, and the same as we just read there in Acts 9, repentance. We repent. We make that decision to turn from our old ways and to turn to the ways of God. We get baptized. We have the laying on of hands, and then we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Which, of course, our dear brother Tony did did a wonderful job talking about how we must have reverence for the Holy Spirit and how it truly does lead us and guide us into all things. We all have a story, brothers and sisters. As far as my personal account goes in terms of how I came into the truth, and most of you are aware of this, I came into the faith in 2004. That's when I first received my calling. At that period in time, I was married to another woman at the time. And admittedly, I was living a very reckless lifestyle. You know, just, you know, doing my own thing with, you know, whether it's with friends. I was making pretty decent money at the time, and I was just caught up in the ways of life and not taking care of my responsibilities. And as a result of me not investing the proper, I guess you can say, energy and certainly time in my marriage at that time, you know, certain situations caused myself and my ex-wife at the time to split. And, you know, unfortunately, it was a very rough split, a very, very rough split. Definitely, I would say that was one of the, you know, most difficult moments of my life. This was once again back in 2004. So I went through the process of, you know, I was living back with my parents at the time. I was, you know, in their basement. And I really wanted to, you know, I was asking myself a lot of questions and, you know, how could I do certain things that I did? And, you know, I was just really starting to question myself personally and just life. And I went through a time of deep introspection and deep prayer. I mean, there were some moments where I was like, literally, I'm sure some of you can relate to this, praying and just crying for like 2-3 hours and just asking God to, you know, speak to me and, you know, what should I do? And of course, you know, repenting of, you know, my transgressions. So I went, I would say, a good 8 months or so, and I was also, you know, recalculating some of my associations in terms of friends and people I would, you know, associate with. And I really had to, you know, shrink that list down from, I don't know, maybe 60 or 70 people that perhaps weren't the best influences in my life at the time to a small handful of people. My wife now being one of them, as, you know, we were friends at that time. And I went about, I would say, 8 months or so, you know, just, as I said, praying, reading the Bible, really getting deep into the Word. And it was then when I was just asking God, in, at this time I believe my family, you know, my parents and my, most of my siblings were in the church. I wasn't at that time. I didn't necessarily embrace the Sabbath, you know, the same time they did. We all grew up Pentecostal in Sunday church. But I remember I was on my knees, there crying and praying, God, show me the way, show me the light. And it was during that period where I was enlightened, where I got my calling. And it wasn't like everything obviously happened all at once, but I do recall a particular day when I was reading my Bible and going through certain passages, and everything all of a sudden just made sense, more specifically in terms of God's plan of salvation. You know, it just started to really make sense, you know, the concept of first fruits and heaven and hell and things of that nature, and my eyes were open. It was a really beautiful thing. So that is a part of my testimony in terms of how I initially came into the faith, in terms of what I was going through at that time, and my introduction, if you will, to the way. So of course, as I mentioned, you know, I started reading my Bible more, I learned a lot more about God's laws and His plan of salvation. I eventually did, of course, repent, and repentance is a process, so we continue to repent. And I made the decision, probably about a year, year and a half later, to get baptized, and so on and so forth. So that's my story. What's yours? Turn with me, brothers and sisters, to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. So what we first went over, that's of course the introduction. Our first segment. There has to be a starting point. And what I want to journey into is what I call the growth stage. Because eventually, when we come into the faith, and we go through what I just outlined in terms of the intro, after a period of time, and it's no set period of time, we all work at our own pace, but after a period of time, we do experience what I would like to call growth. We begin to grow in the faith, begin to develop and learn more and act different and think different. And I just want to outline, once again, we're using the Apostle Paul here as an example from where he started off persecuting the church into how he grew and developed. And definitely, you know, he's responsible for a good portion of the New Testament. So God had a very special plan for him, and Paul fulfilled that mission, that plan. In Galatians 1, let's turn to verse 11. This is just before the start of Paul's missionary journey, approximately 53 AD, where he says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but the revelation of Jesus Christ." Verse 13, "For ye have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." So here we see Paul referencing the past in terms of how he started off. "And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me," so here's his calling, "that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." So he was changed. He's talking about his process of conversion. "Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, except James, the Lord's brother." Verse 20. "Now the things which I write you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I come into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ." Then we wrap up here, 23 and 24. "But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed." What a transformation. "And they glorified God in me." So I'll submit to you, brothers and sisters, this here is a beautiful and a perfect example of conversion, of growth. Thinking about where Paul was prior when he was Saul to where he is at this point in his life, where he is now documenting and sharing his personal testimony with the brethren in Galatia. So this is growth, which is our next phase. And these are some of, and there's a corresponding scripture, you can reference it, Colossians 1, verse 10. These are some of the different segments that, if you will, that occur during the growth phase in our Christian walk. So first we have here, we begin to discover our spiritual gifts. And once again, as I'm reading some of this, I want you to, you know, really internalize it, and I'm sure some of this, or a lot of it, you can relate to. As we begin to grow, we discover our gifts. We begin to bear the fruit of the Spirit of love. We begin to edify others in the faith and make efforts to reach the unconverted. So we reach a stage in our walk with Christ where it's not just all about us. We begin to also understand God's plan of salvation is for all the nations, and we do definitely have a calling to evangelize. So we make an effort to reach the unconverted, which is a part of our calling, which I would say is certainly a measure of Christian growth. We begin as we grow to have an even deeper understanding of who God is and what his plan of salvation is for mankind. Our faith, of course, increases. And we're not perfect. No matter how much we grow, once we're in the flesh, we will fall, we will stumble. And that's why there will always be a need for us to repent. Regardless of where we are in our Christian conversion, must always repent. And I'll read the corresponding verse there, Colossians 1, 9 to 10, where it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that they might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, bearing fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Isn't that beautiful? And for me personally, brothers and sisters, this is where I would, if once again, it's a roadmap. As I said, there's an introduction, we have growth, and in a second we're going to move on to the next stage, which is maturity. For me personally, where I am in the faith, this is the stage where I can say personally, I can identify with, I can relate with, that I'm in that growth phase. And once again, we're all at different stages. As I mentioned earlier, I came into the faith in 2004. So this is going on, do the math real quick, 12 years? 12 years. So we all work, operate, change, convert at a different pace. It certainly isn't a race. Somebody could be in the church, let's say, 25 years, and perhaps they are still in the process of growing. Maybe they haven't reached the stage of where they would identify as being a mature Christian, which we'll discuss in a second. But the purpose of the matter is we work at our own salvation with fear and trembling. And as long as we're continuing to strive, continuing to grow, continuing to develop on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, then, you know, we're doing God's will. Because God wants us to continue to strive, continue to grow. Which brings us to the third stage, which is maturity. So Christian maturity. So at this stage, and some of you, I'm sure, can identify with this. Once you reach the stage where you would identify with being a mature Christian, being mature in the faith, these are just some of the things, once again, that we go through, or that we will experience. We begin to view trials and temptations as opportunities for growth. Once again, I'm sure some can relate to that. We begin to have an even deeper understanding of who salvation is for mankind. Just to actually go back to the growth phase, and that kind of ties into here as well, maturity. As we begin to mature and grow in the faith, even how we observe and the reverence that we have for God's holy days, just as an example, as we mature in the faith, that changes. And I'll use as an example, the Feast of Tabernacles, for example. How I personally observe the feast in terms of how I prepare for the feast and how I keep the feast from a spiritual and from a physical standpoint is vastly, and I would say night and day different from how I observed it and how I kept it just 5, 6, 7 years ago. As we grow and as we progress and as we learn, we begin to once again have an even deeper understanding of who God is and what His plan of salvation is, and we act and internalize things a lot differently. So that's a sign of growth and progression. Another act here in terms of Christian maturity, our desire to obey God intensifies and the attraction to sin lessens. I'll read that again. The desire to obey God intensifies even more once we're mature in the faith, and our attraction to sin lessens. We're not as susceptible to certain things as we continue to grow with the power of the Spirit, which once again our brother Tony talked about. We begin to become more increasingly aware of our sinfulness and our weakness. Not too long ago, probably a couple weeks back, we came out of the days of unleavened bread. And part of unleavened bread, particularly the initial part in terms of the de-leavening of our homes, would teach us certain things in terms of, you know, examining ourselves and looking for, I guess you can say, our hidden sins, things that we can't normally see. So as we begin to mature in the faith, that's one of the things we become a lot more aware of our sinful nature when we do stumble and we do fall. Next, we begin to have a deeper desire to edify others in the faith and to spread the gospel. So once again, as we mature in the faith, we begin to realize that it's not just all about us, and God's plan of salvation is for the nations, and we have an even deeper desire to edify others and to spread the good news of the gospel of Christ. And last, or second last, it says there, we begin to have an internal desire where we don't just read, we don't just talk, but in fact we live what is outlined in Colossians 3, verse 2. Which, can someone quickly quote Colossians 3, verse 2? Roll the room. Excellent. And I'm sure we would all agree that is certainly one of the marks of a mature Christian. Someone that truly sets their affections on things above, not on things of the world. Not consumed in the things of the world. Being separate from the world. And then once again, as we see as a common theme in our roadmap, we have at the end there, repentance. So no matter when we reach the stage, brothers and sisters, where we would identify with being a mature Christian, there always is going to be the need to repent. Why? We sin. We're not perfect. We're not there yet. We haven't made it yet. We're still enduring. We're still living. We're still in the flesh. So we're going to stumble. We're going to fall. And God gives us repentance as a gift, and it is a gift. We all know repentance is a gift, right? It's a gift from God. God gives us the gift of repentance in order to reconcile us back to Him, to bring us back into the fold, which of course is His will and His perfect desire. Please turn with me to Romans 7. Romans chapter 7. We'll take a look at verse 15. So remember, we're talking about maturity here. Romans 7, verse 15. This is approaching approximately 10 years into Paul's journey with Christ. Where he would say, I don't really understand myself. Romans 7, 15. Reading from the New Living Translation. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. And it's interesting, as I said, this is approximately 10 years into the journey of Paul. And at this point, you know, I'm sure we can, you know, identify or say that he is a mature Christian when we look at all of the different things he experienced and how he has grown in the faith. And even at the time of his maturity, 10 years into his journey, he is saying this: I don't really understand myself, for the things I want to do, I don't do. Instead, I do the things that I hate. So once again, that's an example, and going back to the last point there, repentance. Even when we do reach that stage of maturity, when we're mature in the faith, and once again, it's not a matter of years. You can be in the faith for 15 or 20 years, and perhaps you wouldn't necessarily identify with being mature. You can be in the faith for 1 year, and as God's Holy Spirit, because there's no time in God's things, and as God's Holy Spirit leads you and guides you, you can certainly mature at a very young and early stage as you come into the faith. But it's interesting to note that Paul here, after about 10 years, still he has his struggles. So once again, the need for repentance. In Hebrews 6, verse 1, I'll quickly read it. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary things about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that led to death and of faith in God. So we went over, brothers and sisters, in terms of our conversion roadmap. There was an introduction. There was the middle stage, which is growth, and we just went over maturity. Once again, we're all at different stages of our Christian walk. We experience different things. We live unique lives. It's certainly not a competition to see who's the most mature in the faith. That's not what Paul meant when he said, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race. It certainly isn't a race against each other. We indeed do work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, but in the spirit of love, God wants us to help each other to cross that finish line. It's not an easy road. That's why the scriptures say, he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. So this looks good so far. We have a beginning. We have somewhat of a middle, I guess, the growth stage. And then we have, I won't call it the end, but as we continue to grow, we have the third stage, which is maturity. But is that it, brothers and sisters? Is that our ultimate goal? Remember, the title of the message is From Immaturity to Immortality. So, of course, there is more. Turn with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians 3, verse 20. From immaturity to immortality. Philippians 3, 20 to 21. For our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So that's the final stage, eternal life, immortality. That's the reason why we must endure when we go through our various trials, when we go through our various stages of different things in life. I really want to stress the point, brothers and sisters, as I begin to wind down, that conversion is a process. It's not an event. Or rather, I will say it's not just an event, because it is an event where when we initially come into the faith, sure, there's a big conversion, a big change from where we were to, you know, where we eventually end up. But it's a process. It's something that we continue to strive towards. Conversion is change. And once we're in this mortal body, we must continue to strive to develop, continue to strive to change. We must regularly evaluate ourselves regardless of where we are in our Christian life. This isn't necessarily something that I can personally relate to, but I can imagine sometimes perhaps you can reach a stage where you've been in the faith, you've been in the church for, you know, maybe 20 or 30 years. You know, sometimes we go to the feast and we'll have people, you know, raise their hands. How many feasts have you attended? And you'll see some people who have kept the feast, you know, 40 years, 50 years, and it's amazing. I would imagine that for some folks, it could be a challenge where, you know, you've been around for a long time, 30, 40, 50 years. Sometimes you could get stagnant where, you know, your life, you're going around in a circle because it seems like it's the same thing year after year. You know, I'm attending the feast, I'm going to different places, but I'm, you know, seeing the same people, I'm doing the same thing. I'm not really seeing much growth or much progression. So that could be a problem. So there certainly is a challenge that regardless of where you are in your Christian life, you could be in the faith for, you know, 30 years, 50 years. We always want to continue to strive to grow, continue to develop, continue to have an even deeper understanding of who God is and what his plan of salvation for mankind is, and continue to strive to better serve him by obeying him and by keeping his commandments. So as I wrap up here, there are 29 days left until Pentecost. 29 days. And of course, we are instructed, brothers and sisters, to count the days, which I hope we are counting, once again, today being 21. But more than that, and I've mentioned this up here before in a previous message around about this time, the Feast of Weeks, let us not just count the days, but let's in fact make the days count and truly use this period as an opportunity for growth. Regardless of where you are, regardless of where you perhaps identify with in terms of the roadmap I outlined there, the Christian lifestyle, if you're new in the faith and you're still in that, you know, intro stage, or if you've been around for a while and you're beginning to experience a little bit of growth and you're starting to gain a little bit more knowledge, or you've been around for a while and, you know, you would identify with some of the markings there we went over for a mature Christian, regardless of where you are, let's specifically use these next few weeks leading up to the Holy Day of Pentecost to truly use it as an opportunity to grow closer to God and, of course, closer to each other in the faith. Amen? All right. Just give me one second. one closing scripture here. Okay, sorry, I have the wrong file here. I don't have that scripture. I'll just leave it here. I took some time to share my testimony. We all have a testimony. We all have a story of how we started in the faith. And if we can truly, brothers and sisters, use that testimony, use that beginning. Sometimes we don't want to go back to the past because there's a lot of baggage there and we went through a lot of things. But if we can truly use that and think about sometimes where we were to where we are now and truly be focused in terms of where we're going, our ultimate destination, and give God thanks, glory and praise for bringing us from where we were to where we are now, that will continue to lead us and continue to guide us as we grow. And the goal is, once again, to go from immaturity to immortality. God bless you, brothers and sisters.